So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé MK. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will be discussing the Season 10 Tell All Part 2 of 90 Day Fiancé. In this episode, Jasmine is so loud that no one can move on from her freakout. Clayton and his sister Brandy have a passive-aggressive off on stage. Sean tries to get a Jasmine-like reaction out of Citra. Nick and Devin talk about the only thing they have to talk about. And Nikki and Igor go on forever and just confuse everyone. So, all right, thanks for listening. Stay safe and enjoy.
Hello, Mr. O.
Hello, Miss H.
How are you today?
I'm not doing too bad. This is always like the roughest day for me after we change the clocks.
Oh,
because
yes,
it's all
it
of a sudden.
Is.
Because, whatever, people have all their opinions about which time is the best time and which time they like best. But for me, the morning after we change the spring forward, I have to wake up and leave in the dark, and I hate it so hard.
I wouldn't mind that, but yeah, I can see how other people, yeah,
I just feel
like
so
that.
Much more tired throughout the rest of a day when I have to wake up in the dark. I can't, I don't know if I can explain it.
Okay, well, speaking of being in the dark, you had already expressed how you felt in the dark after watching Igor and Nikki's segments because you didn't seem to know what was happening.
I'm hoping your summary can clue me in a little bit because I have no idea what anybody was talking about.
We will see. Let's give it a shot here. Okay, so Sean refers to Igor as Justin as they get started on their segment. Sean asks if they are still broken up, and Igor just doesn't give an answer and just says that they need more time to figure things out. We then get Igor's side of the breakup. He says that they broke up because it was the best decision. He then speaks Russian to explain his side of the story. He says that when Nikki went back, they had a huge fight or misunderstanding, and he just realized that he can't wake up every day worrying if she's mad at him. With distance and time, he had a chance to rebuild, and the next day, he just felt free. So Nikki accuses him of never loving her. Igor says he didn't feel trapped, but they were breaking up like 10 times a day, and he just wants stability. Nikki thinks he's playing the victim. Sean asks why he broke up with her over text, and Igor says that it's difficult having a conversation with Nikki because she always talks over him, and he admits that his English isn't so great for him to express himself well. Nikki says his English is fine, which I'll disagree.
Yeah, his English was not fine.
No. Some of the stuff he says just doesn't make any sense. So Igor says that she needs to listen, and tomorrow he will stop speaking, but today he will speak. Ashley just repeats what he says and is like, all right. And then Igor tells Ashley she's giving off Nikki vibes, which Nikki explains means masculine energy. Igor then asks her to speak with more respect as Ashley asks why he would tell his trans girlfriend she's giving off man vibes because that is the biggest insult he could ever give her. He then makes a joke about Ashley needing her candles right now. Igor says that he doesn't understand their culture and he sees man vibes. If he sees man vibes, he'll call it out. Nikki then says that he took her for a 2-year ride and brings up the trip that she went on where she went out there a couple months ago for his birthday. She says that they had sex and he put the ring back on her finger. Nikki says that they are technically engaged, even though the status of their relationship is, to everyone, them included, unclear. Sean asks why she would go back, and Nikki says it's because they have history and she loves him. Igor asks which half she likes, the upper half or the lower half, and he claims he's being serious. Nikki tells him the lower half isn't even all that great, so why would she love that half? Clayton points out that he doesn't even give her the lower half, so obviously it's not that half. Nikki then says that Igor's first girlfriend messaged her on social media and said that they meet up at the park sometimes. Igor says that his city is small and there are random meetings, even though he has told Nikki he never sees his exes. Igor claims he never cheats and shows his strong forearm to prove that he doesn't cheat. And Rob translates for us that the meaning, saying he's jacked because he jacks off a lot. Ashley then asks him if he's been with other women point blank. Igor won't really answer the question and keeps making jokes about Ashley and the candles. Manuel says nothing he says makes sense. Igor says Nikki is acting like an enemy and not a friend. Clayton doesn't think that Igor has ever been okay with Nikki being trans, but Igor denies this. So Sophie asks, what is it? Nikki says that he's never treated her like a queen. Ashley tells Nikki that she needs to let go. Igor says that they don't know their relationship and no one else can judge. He says that if she acted more like a lady, they wouldn't have problems. Igor then says he doesn't think that they're in a relationship right now, but he says the door is open. He says people don't understand because no one has been in love with a trans person before they actually found out they were trans. They actually don't seem to resolve anything in this conversation. Myrna, Nikki's mom, then comes out. Myrna wants to know what's going on. Nikki says that Igor says that he's not gay or trans attracted and he can't live with this in his head for the rest of his life. Igor says that she is his exception. Myrna says that Nikki is a woman. Nikki says that the K-1 visa application is still processing, and Igor says that he will go to the interview depending on how things go there today. Nikki doesn't know, and she can't force him to love her. Jasmine says she sees Nikki as a woman and that women can also be dominant, and that she calls Igor an asshole. He calls her a copy of Nikki and that Nikki doesn't know how to act like a lady in a relationship. Ashley defends her as Nikki starts hyperventilating. Sean asks what it would take for her to pull the visa, and Nikki says it's pointless. Igor says that he won't go to his interview now. He says that he wants to go to the U.S., but not this way. Everyone encourages her to just pull the visa application. Nikki hands her mom the ring. Later, Igor says that American women don't respect men, and he's open to having a healthy relationship with Nikki. Nikki is feeling hurt and upset, and we see her texting her attorney to pull the visa. She's planning on getting back on stage and working on her music. All right, so do you think these people are going to go back to each other? Because it certainly sounds like he doesn't want to, so I just keep wondering why he does keep going back.
I mean, to me, I feel like they will end up back together just because I can't figure out why they were ever together in the first place. And they keep getting back together for no reason after it seems like it was very much over. And so there we go. Like last time it seemed like when they left and she had that whole breakdown on stage, we had to hug the producer as she was leaving.
Right.
That really seemed like he was very definitively breaking up with her.
Yeah.
And then he didn't. And they were back together. And she went to Moldova for her birthday and, you know, things like that. And so, yeah, this just seems like a couple that no matter how over it seems, it's going to be they're always just going to keep coming back to each other. Like, and I think part of it, I think it's two things. I think it's Nikki's desperation and Igor being broke.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really touch too much about the money, but it's like she will always go back to him. And like we've seen it, you know, even her like with the not wanting to pull the visa application, she just doesn't want to admit that it's over and she's so ready to go back to him. Mm-hmm. But for him, it's kind of like he just makes all these arguments about why he doesn't want to be with her. And it's pretty obvious and clear he doesn't want to be with her, but then he always ends up with her. So it's like, what is the motivation except for the money? And one of the arguments they said they got into was over money because he wanted her to pay because his car broke down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they talked about that. Like, and that was in the last time they had broken up. And so it also seems like when she's not there, she becomes like abstracted, much easier to break up with, right?
Yeah.
And just not there. It's just that it's hard to tell what he's thinking because he never makes any damn sense. He doesn't. And I do think, to be fair, everybody on stage was going after him for being extremely transphobic. And I feel like it is legitimate to not be trans attracted, right? I do think that for a regular person, for someone who's been in a relationship with a trans person on and off for decades, not so much, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's as transphobic as he is extremely misogynistic, right?
Yeah.
He keeps telling her she's not ladylike enough. And that everybody registers that as anti-trans. But I feel it like, stop talking back to me, woman. Shut your mouth when I talk to you and be like a lady. Right?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you because if he was dating Jasmine, he would say the exact same thing to Jasmine as well.
He said it to Ashley.
Yeah.
Oh, these are all, he told them all. He called Ashley and Jasmine both Nikki clones.
Well, yeah, but then it's like, I don't think that's the message he wants to convey, right? Because right. then it's like, okay, well, what are you trying to say exactly? And I think what he's trying to say is the whole, like, ladylike. And to him, it's ladylike doesn't necessarily mean having lady parts. It's right. just, like, being more submissive and not like, speaking out or speaking up for yourself. That's what he thinks is ladylike.
Right. And part of it is just, like, and the part that drove me crazy is he at some point when they went to him, he's like, I don't like this. People, they're American women. They only care about what they think and they interrupt and they don't listen to what the man has to say. And it's like, they listen to what you have to say. The reason yeah. they're yelling at you is because what you said was gross bullshit. Like right. they heard it. They heard it yeah. correctly. Like,
yeah.
The part where people – and that's a part you see a bunch of – but the mother – bunch of kind of narcissistic or mm-hmm. or – also unintelligent people is that they think they don't differentiate between I need to be listened to mm-hmm. and I need to be agreed with. And right. those are the same thing, right? Yeah. Like he goes out there and says, oh, I don't think it's any kind of problem. I can say my – I can tell her she has man vibes. And like, no, I don't agree. And he's like, well, why aren't you listening to me? And we're yeah. like, we did listen to you, right? And so he was very frustrating with that and like just – I don't know. It was – kind of a pile on because and let's be frank, Nikki's not great either.
No, she isn't. And it's like one of those things where I think she's played victim well enough, you know, where you're kind of like, do I have sympathy for her? Because, right. mm-hmm. you know, and not even sympathy for her in this relationship, because the reality is like, I don't have sympathy for her in this relationship.
No,
she has
sure.
chosen to be in this stupid relationship. And so it's like, I don't have sympathy. The part that I have like more sympathy for her is the challenges that she has faced, you know, being trans mm-hmm. and therefore feeling like she has no other options. That is
yes,
the part
sure.
that mm-hmm. I feel sympathy for her. And, you know, it's sad to me that she thinks that way when I think she is perfectly capable of finding someone who would treat her well. You know?
And that's what I wonder what the problem is, if it's possibly the issue, is do you like the upper half or the lower half?
Right. Yeah.
Is when she says, I can't do better than this, does she mean mm-hmm. I can't find someone who treats me better than this? Or does she mean I can't find anybody as young and hot as this?
Right. Sure. Sure. Because, right? yeah, if she was to try find someone like more age appropriate or, mm-hmm. you know, someone who maybe isn't as attractive as she thinks Igor is, would that person like have reciprocated feelings for her? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because before everybody started kind of coming for Igor for his, you know, his perceived transphobia or, you know, like the thing Ashley did where she was like, well, did you sleep with people? Were you engaged? And he was like, candles, mm-hmm. candles, candles. And she's like, answer the question.
What?
He's just like, candles.
Yeah.
Like, okay. But before he did that, like he was like, had legitimate reasons to break up with Nikki.
Sure.
This is what made sense.
Sure.
She yells at me constantly. I wake
right.
up in fear that I'm going to get a text and it's going to turn into a big fight. I
yeah.
just want that to stop. Those are all legitimate reasons
yeah,
to break up with
and
somebody.
Like him saying, like, I want stability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, you should want stability in your relationship. It isn't normal to keep on breaking up and doing this back and forth thing.
Right. And it is not normal to have a relationship. Like, and we've seen Nikki say things like that. Well, we always mm-hmm. say we're going to break up and things are over, but they never really are. It's like, that's not
right.
healthy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be yelling out things, screaming things that you don't mean at each other. That's not good.
Right. Yeah. It's all not good.
Yes, their whole relationship's not good.
Yeah.
So then let's completely change gears and go to a relationship that is pretty good. Let's talk about Sean and Sam and Citra. So Sean starts off by congratulating them for Citra's pregnancy. Then she asks if they were trying, and Citra says, well, the plan was to wait for a year, but I'm pregnant now. That's how this happens. So maybe we do need more advice about birth control, as you said last time. So she asks if they're ready for this, and Sam gives them the old, oh, no one's really ready, which is pretty accurate. So then they joke a little bit about her morning sickness and how the baby is a demon that's making her throw up. And then Sean asks about Sam's application to the diversion program. So he tells us that he was really disappointed with and angry with himself for messing that up and not getting the paperwork in time. But no surprise, he did make it into the program. That's going to involve him going to therapy, holding down a job, and undergoing possibly even weekly drug tests for a year. Citra said she was nervous about the, you know, decision coming in about the diversion program, but now that he's in, she's very relieved. So Ashley kind of leads them into like something being like, well, tell us, was it your Muslim faith that helped you through this? He was like, oh, yeah, definitely it has. This is like, you know, it's a piece of me that was missing and I definitely, you know, wouldn't have been able to make it through without it. So then they bring up something from the past that we really haven't heard much, if anything, about. So it turns out Sam did have a brief affair when he and Citra were in a relationship, but in like kind of the beginning stages of the relationship. So they said it was definitely after they were exclusive, but, you know, pretty quickly after that. So we see what looks to me like it was an audition video. It looked like they were like filming it themselves. And it says that Sam had a one night stand and then he told Citra about it. And of course, it was a big fight, but they clearly managed to work their way through it. So they come back and ask him and he just says, you know, it was a quick fling. It was early in a relationship. It didn't mean anything. They were in a committed relationship, but he wasn't sure it was going anywhere. Of course, he would never do anything like that now. I regret it. All the right things you're supposed to say, right? So he tells us that he had met her while he was driving Uber, and they asked Citra, who says that shortly after that she had some jealousy issues, but they've been better because it's been a while, and he's not given her any other reasons to not trust him. So Sean asks what – she was like, well, what did he actually tell you? And according to Citra, she remembers Sam saying something about like they went to her room and she had some freaky stuff in there and he got scared off and ran away. Like I really want to hear the details of what the freaky stuff was in the room. But
– God, I don't know if I do.
But – and then they got to their place and then she kind of – more or less implies or says that, you know, he didn't have sex with her. And then everyone on stage is like, oh no, honey. Yes, he did. Like that's what one night stand means. So Sam insists on stage that he did tell Citra that at the time, but it was a while ago. So maybe she just like misremembered or is blocking it out because it was a bad memory. And Nikki says that, I wouldn't trust him. I would never trust him again. He's lying. And this makes things quite awkward because he says again that, well, I'm telling the truth. So anyway, like I said, he kind of floats the blacked out theory, but a lot of the cast seem to think that Sam is lying now, that he didn't tell her at the time. He just told her that I went back to her room and then nothing happened and I just left. I got close to cheating but didn't. But he's doubling down on it. So Clayton says he doesn't believe it because her story, the kind of way she told her story doesn't lend itself to a misunderstanding. Like it's not like he used the word, like he wasn't like, we banged it out. And she was like, I didn't know what that meant. That meant you had sex, right? I think that's what they were kind of expecting. But Nikki says she would never trust him again. And because Igor did the same thing to her and she has never cheated on anyone. Like, and she also caveated that. I don't know if you noticed. She was like, I've never cheated when I was in a loyal relationship. And I was like, a loyal relationship. So anyway, Sean points out that now that Citra doesn't really seem all that upset, like even a little bit, like not even shaken. And she's just like, well, I'm fully confident. I trust him. It's more like it's water under the bridge. So then Jasmine pipes up and says she's proud of them and their children, you know, just don't need great parents. They just need happy parents. So Sam is kind of weirded out afterwards backstage, weirded out about how much of his personal life got shared on stage, but things are going fine with them as they leave. She trusts him and this cheating is not a thing that anybody cares about. And so they're just excited for the baby. I mean, this was clearly a situation where they really wanted, they were like trying to be like, Citra, can we get you to react like Jasmine? That would be the best thing here. Let's give you a chance to do that and see if you
bite. I don't think it's in her.
Oh, of course. Like, yeah.
Personality or, I don't know, capability of reacting like, you know, Jasmine, especially when it happened so long ago. It's like, you know, like after they've already resolved it, they've already, you know, gotten married. It's like, I don't know, having a kid. To be upset about it now just seems stupid. You know, it's like, well, what were you doing this whole time?
Right.
If you're still upset about it.
No, and it's definitely something that it was like, if you're Yeah, it's kind of the worst thing. A bad thing people do in relationships is when you get to a problem and you work past the problem, not actually working past it and being like, I'm still mad at you about that. Like, you know, and holding him accountable for something he can't change, even though you're the one who agreed that it wouldn't get in the way of you moving the relationship forward, right? I feel like once you've made the commitment and he didn't lie to you, told you the whole truth. I mean, I do believe he told him the whole truth. I think this whole thing was kind of either a little bit of a fake out or a little bit of a lost in translation about like what got told who. I think he did come clean at the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's just like, that's in the past. I've already decided to move on from that. And they don't want that. It really seemed like they wanted her to break down and cry. And they were just like, what can we do? How can we say it to get you to cry? And she was just like, old news.
Yeah, yeah, definitely old news. Not really a whole lot going on with them, like in terms of drama. But I don't know. I feel like the baby thing, like that's a bigger deal, like for the drama. Like obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously because I'm sure people still have drama like when the pregnancy is happening. But like, I feel like that's a lot of change in a short amount of time. Like,
sure.
Well, can that's probably Sam why even the, support them?
That's the plan. That's the plan. Why it was supposed to be a year, right? Let Sam finish his program, get his feet under him, be able to move out. But I mean, but both of them clearly wanted kids, right? At some point down the line, and everybody I've known who has said that and said, "Oh, you know, we're not ready yet, but we want to have kids." And then something happens and they accidentally get pregnant. They're just like, all right, we're going, we'll roll with it now. Like I haven't seen anybody who has been very like broken up or like, oh my God, how are we ever going to do it with that? And I've known a few people who got pregnant very quickly that wasn't quite intended. And it usually works out fine.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be fine. Are they on HEA? I can't remember.
They are not. Because they're normal, and HEA is 100% exclusively psychopaths, I think.
No,
we have a couple. Patrick and Thais are okay.
Yeah, because I was going to say, that's kind of, I think, the interesting stuff is like, you know, and that's why something like 16 and pregnant is so popular. It's like babies bring a lot of stress. Stress brings drama, you know, so it's like that stuff, that's the interesting stuff.
But I feel like stress, I mean, it brings a lot of stress, but stress only brings drama if you're dramatic people.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's hard not to be dramatic, though, under the kind of stress that babies bring.
I mean, you're just too tired to be dramatic. Being dramatic takes energy.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some more drama then. And that's Gino and Jasmine. Ugh. So Jasmine, if you recall from last week, is sobbing. And she had walked off stage. So she's still sobbing off stage while Gino stays on stage and says he regrets nothing. He said that 95% of the time he was sitting with his family. Sophie then asks, isn't he upset that she's upset? And he says that she doesn't have to be upset like that. Meanwhile, Jasmine is hysterical, telling Nikki that he doesn't love her and that she actually hates him. Sean brings it back to Daisy, one of the strippers that they decided to bring on.
That poor stripper was sitting there the whole time. Oh, man.
Yeah. She says that he could tell, or she could tell that he didn't seem that into it. And ultimately, she thought Gino was respectful, and she's definitely seen worse. Jasmine is upset that he was hugging a topless woman, and once again, she always brings up this argument, which I find hard to believe. He's never hugged her that way. She is screaming, and all of this could be heard on stage. Gino then says that Jasmine is especially triggered because his most recent ex was a stripper, which everyone's like, I didn't know that. Jasmine tells Nikki offstage that she's traumatized and that she can't forgive him. And it's like, why even bother saying that shit?
Because you know, she said that every time immediately before forgiving him. Always.
Right. Yes. 10 minutes later, she's forgiving him, I'm sure. Ashley says that it doesn't help, you know, when they're not having sex. Gino says that he's attracted to Jasmine, but the hurtful thing she says just turns him off. Jasmine then calms down a little bit, comes back to stage and apologizes to Sean for walking off. Jasmine says that she was having an anxiety attack and Nikki helped her through it. Jasmine tells Daisy that Gino has never looked at her or complimented her that way. Daisy says that he wasn't, like, complimenting her. And Jasmine says that Gino didn't tell her anything. And she asks if the lip gloss was hers. Daisy says that her only interaction was at the bachelor party, and she wants to reassure her that Gino didn't have any interest in anyone else there. Jasmine says that Gino being awkward is more of a red flag to her because that's his way of being flirtatious. Sean just kind of wraps things up without any kind of resolution and gives Jasmine a hug as Gino awkwardly stands near Jasmine. She finally breaks the silence and says that this is it and he's crossed the line. He doesn't think he did. And Jasmine says that that is the problem. He'll never see what he did was wrong. Gino maintains his innocence because, geez, oh, Pete, people have bachelor parties and strip Jeez, clubs oh, happen all Pete. The time. He says that there wasn't much that he did. Jasmine says that if Gino really loved her, he would understand how this whole thing made her feel. Gino hangs out with the cast and asks, and they ask if he's okay. Gino just says, like, kind of rolls his eyes and said that this is a cycle that never seems to stop. Sophie points out that she always brings up her ex and that would never fly in her relationship with Rob. And Sam agrees. Ashley relates to Jasmine and says that she felt like she's not being heard, which is why she gets louder. She thinks that Jasmine needs a level of love that Gino has a hard time giving her because of the things she says to him. Ashley, of course, thinks that the solution is to bang it out to release the energy. Jasmine then comes back to show everyone what she's dealing with. She pulls out an envelope from her purse and tells everyone that she received this at her house. It was a letter from the stripper supposedly saying that it was her lip gloss in the car, and she also sent her panties saying that Gino took them off of her. Jasmine gives the letter to pass around, and Gino says that this is a crazy fan who just left that letter on their front porch. She then drops the pair of panties on the floor and everyone screams, "Ew!" Rob is suspicious and thinks that it's just someone who wants to hurt her, especially because the letter was typed, so, you know, keeping that anonymity. The cast all kind of agrees that the letter is bullshit and she needs to believe that Gino loves her as Annalie and Nikki give her a hug. Jasmine wants to believe it's a lie, but Gino has a history of not taking accountability. She says that she showed the letter because she doesn't want everyone to think that she's overreacting about the whole bachelor party. Gino says that he's had experience fighting with Jasmine and he's learned it's best to just let her cool off. Nikki kind of kicks the panties back into the envelope as they dispose of it. Jasmine later takes Gino aside to tell him that she was embarrassed and she wasn't prepared to see that footage, and Gino keeps interrupting her to tell her that he did nothing wrong. He finally says that he's never looking to do things that hurt her, and if he knew it would upset her this much, he maybe wouldn't have done it. He also says that it works both ways, and she can't be doing things to intentionally hurt him. She agrees, and they seemingly make up. Jasmine says that if they both put their heart and minds into this, that they can make it work. Later, Jasmine jokes that they have sex once a year if things are good, and if it were up to her, they would just do it every day because it makes her happy, and she says, now you know why she is always moody. All right, so what were you going to say about the whole panty thing?
Okay, they've seen panties before, right? Like,
yeah, but I think they were grossed out because they said they were, like, crusty or something.
They were crusty, like
very
I don't
clearly
know.
Used panties.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would be grossed out by that, too. No one's trying to touch someone, some completely anonymous person's crusty-ass panties.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be like, I would be like, I wouldn't, like, they were all jumping like, oh!
Oh, yeah, like they're going to catch an STD or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. Like, jumping around from it. Like, I don't, okay. Like, and it was tricky because, like, the shot they showed us was, I don't know, they just looked like black panties. We didn't see the crustiness of them.
Right.
Like, that was, yeah, that's where I was sitting with that. Like, how weird it was.
Yeah, it was kind of comical. They're all reaction about it, but.
Yeah, it just seems like the most prudish reaction, like, ever of everything. You know, like, yeah. They're all doing things. Ashley had sex in a bathroom and is grossed out by panties. Like, come on. Like,
yeah. So do you think that that whole like package was some crazy fan who'd watched a couple of these episodes?
I would say 60% chance that's what it was. Like, we got a fan who watched the lip gloss episode and immediately like, oh, I know where Gina lives, and immediately did that. Like, 60% chance it was that. Maybe like 30% chance it was production that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that last 10%.
X, crazy X.
Jasmine did it herself.
Yeah, I did kind of like see her perspective, like, oh yeah, that does make sense. Maybe she isn't so crazy, you know, like, yeah, I can see that. But I could also see her wanting to react that way and being like, okay, well, I got to pull this anti-crazy card.
Yeah, part of it is it's Gino. They all see him. They all saw the stripper. They all saw how he interacted with the stripper. He hugged the stripper at the end of a lap dance. Weird. Like, just got up and did a full, like, which is like, I guess that's a choice. That just seems really weird to me.
It's very weird. It's like you're, you know, hugging someone who's naked, like, who's essentially a stranger. Like, that all seems very weird.
It was all very weird and awkward. And so imagine that they went from that awkward hug after a lap dance to, oh yeah, I left my lip gloss in your car and I'm going to send panties to this guy. No, that's not happening. Like, that's not believable.
Yeah. But it's also funny. Jasmine's like, oh, well, that's him flirting, him being awkward. It's like, wrong, but also, you know, I think it's just his normal. I'm sure it both looks like that, right? Flirting and non-flirting looks the same.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's funny because I think we all know that Jasmine has admitted that she has a really weird taste in men, that she is attracted to Gino. And so it's like, look at him over there. You know, like a gross guy, like somebody's really attracted to gross things that guys do. Look at him over there scratching his balls and burping. God, he's just flirting with all the women. It's like, he's definitely not. He is scratching his balls and burping. That's turning off all the women but you. Like, everybody else is not turned on by this awkwardness of Gino. Like, nobody. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
But, like, she reminded me at the beginning when she was doing the offstage, like, oh, and you could hear them and they couldn't even go forward because she was screaming backstage.
Right.
It reminded me of, like, a toddler when, like, they start to have a little bit of a temper tantrum and you ignore it because you're like, I'm not giving you – you're having a temper tantrum and I'm not going to give you the attention that you're looking for. And then they just keep getting louder and start banging on things and start screaming louder to try to get your attention more. It's like, that's Jasmine, like toddler logic with that stuff. She was just, I feel like she knew they were going on without her and asking questions. And she was like, nope, I have to be louder because they have to stop everything they're doing until they address me.
Yeah, like that whole thing was absolutely ridiculous. It very much reminded me of when she found the lip gloss and was like wailing. It also reminded me of Ashley when she was like, you know, wailing for no reason. It's like, is this like, I don't know, is this a thing? Like, why is this becoming a thing?
I don't know. It's not a thing that I do or would put up with or anything. Like, I literally wouldn't put up with it. It's just, it's wild. And it's like I said, it's something you, most parents stop their kids from doing when they're like three, right? It's like, oh no, we're not going to do that. And you're not getting what you want after that. Like, absolutely not. Right.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, again, with the, everybody is just like, and we talk about it again, this cycle of them just being like this and then leaving somewhat happy at the end, despite the fact that less than an hour ago, she was like, it's over. It can never be. I will never be able to forgive you.
Oh, gosh,
it's like, God, like, it's just, why say that if it's not true? I don't understand. I really, of all the things I got from the show, don't understand people screaming things that are not true at each other.
Right. And she is like so guilty of that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, I got both of the boring couples this time. So Nick and Devin. So eventually we finally get around to Nick and Devin. And Nick apparently already has had his green card for like 6 months.
Right? Yeah.
And he's the only one on stage with one. And that even kind of like is – it's funny because it kind of goes with – there's a little bit of a back and forth with Jasmine where he's like – where she's like, well, I have to wait for him to turn it in. And Devin was like – Nick sent ours in like the day after the wedding.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, the foreigners. And she's like, I don't know what to tell you. Because Jasmine hasn't even sent her application in yet.
Oh,
so anyway, Devin said, like I said, he had the right after the wedding. So anyway, he couldn't manage to find any work in Cersei. So now he's working as a project manager in Atlanta, which, by the way, not close really at all to Arkansas. It's like 8 hours away. Right.
Yeah.
So he's living in a hotel room now. And so because he's just like kind of – he's only been there for about a week or two. So she's in Arkansas. He's in Atlanta for now until he can, you know, get a place and get everything set up and she'll come with him. So, you know, both of them are actually – and both of them seem like very fine with that arrangement. They're like, yeah, I like having my alone time. It's pretty awesome.
It hasn't been that long. She said like a week, sure, 2 weeks.
A week or 2 weeks. And I got the impression that prior to that, they were like in their parents – they were like in each other's – they were just up each other's ass, right? They were like in like a one bedroom – in one bedroom together, right?
Yeah.
So anyway. So anyway, they bring in Devin's parents, Kevin and Katrina. And Katrina says she's okay with them moving away 8 hours to Atlanta because that's a whole lot closer than South Korea. So then they get to the obvious only thing we're going to talk about with them. And that's how Nick calls Devin Piggy. So they show us some flashbacks of him offending everybody at the cookout. And then they ask Devin about it. And she just is like, look, I get it is a term of endearment that's pretty normal in South Korea, but – maybe he could just say it in private and not in public, because every time he says it in public, it becomes a stupid fight and everybody comes after him and I'm annoyed with it. so they ask Nick for clarification about it. And he was like, well, yeah, he's like, not every couple says piggy, just like not every couple says honey or whatever. But it's a pretty common way to show affection in South Korea. And so he still does it, especially now since he doesn't have to feel guilty about it because she's skinny. So obviously he doesn't – not calling her fat because she's skinny. So Jasmine chimes in at this point and she is really worried that the weight loss is related to like Devin feeling bad and him like, you know, negging her into – by calling her piggy into losing weight. So Katrina says that this is not the first time that Devin has been this skinny. You know, she's kind of fluctuated in her weight during her adult life, but maybe? I don't know. So Nick is just upset. He's just like, I just want – can people take a joke? So he says he still doesn't really understand why Americans are so upset about it. But he says he'll try not to say it in public. And then we'll come back to that again. So Sean asks Devin about the weight. And she says that it was not so much the, you know, piggy nickname that kind of made her want to lose more weight. But it was like not fitting into any of the wedding stuff.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, no, I don't like this at all.
Well, that explains why she was like randomly crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that so, one time where we're like, what's happening right now?
Yeah. So Sophie then kind of lays into him about how he should respect Devin's culture. And he says, OK, fine, fine, fine. I won't say it again. Psych. And then they push him more and he gives like this really obviously like wordy fake apology. He's like, I would like to apologize to everyone here for all the things that I've done. Like, obviously, like doing that thing where I'm apologizing even though I clearly don't mean it. So anyway, as they leave, they say that in the future, it's going to be Nick getting settled with a job, moving her to Atlanta. And then Nick suggests maybe having some babies. And then Devin is more or less like, well, if you make a lot of bank, then maybe that can happen. But whatever. He wants babies. She really not so crazy about it. So we leave them and that's all we have. Like, it's all about this like piggy nickname and whether she cares about it or not. But I kind of want to go to – I feel like the reason – and maybe you can back me up on this – that this couple was in it less than any couple in a long time, right?
Yeah.
Any season, is because I don't think I've seen anybody who's as uncomfortable in front of the camera as Devin.
Yeah, even when she was like, I'm going to come in here and, you know, speak my mind, I was like, did you? Like, did you stick up for yourself? Did you really offer anything, any different perspective than what we saw? Because I didn't.
No, I didn't. And it's one of those things that it's easy to say, too, because on social media, she comes back and she has on social media been very open about like the time they were filming was the worst time of her life. She was like, I hated every second of it. It was awful. I was drunk the whole time. It was terrible. And so when you know that and you watch this, you're like, yep, she hates being on this camera. It is awful for her.
Yeah. Why in the world did she sign up for it? That's what you know, did they need the money? Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was, right? And I think that's kind of part of it. Is that the implication has also been that they kind of had an idea and a role for her that she wasn't her, right?
Yeah.
And so they, you know, she has talked about she couldn't wear the clothes she wanted to wear. She couldn't do the things she wanted to do. And like, so it felt like she was almost, you know, trying to be somebody she wasn't too. And that also made it super uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. So I'm on this website right now. It's like a Korean language and culture blog.
Uh-huh.
And it has like terms of endearment for, you know, different categories of people. And so they say funny and cute Korean terms of endearment. Apparently poop dog, dummy idiot, pig, and crazy cat are on there. It's like, why? Why would you use this poop dog? You know,
I mean,
like,
so that's where it is I think there's such, and especially because Nick said, can't you guys take a joke?
Yeah.
I think that what's missing here isn't necessarily the term of endearment. Mm-hmm. It's that completely upside down joke of like, mm-hmm. well, yeah, it's cute and funny to give your partner an embarrassing, stupid nickname. Like, that's
yeah.
funny. We laugh at that. Obviously, I wouldn't mean that. And so there's this element of humor there that does not translate culturally that everyone else
no.
is just completely not getting.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think like you say it as funny because it's like ironic, right? Like
yes,
you would
sure.
like dummy idiot. It's like, okay, it's terms of endearment when you're not in an argument trying to insult someone, telling them how stupid they are, right? But it's
right.
like, that's, it's like, but I think the reason why everybody is like so upset is because Devin isn't exactly this stick thin anorexic person where you could like call her piggy ironically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think like it is borderline like, do you mean that as an insult or is it really a term of endearment, especially when he's then like really leaning into it, calling her fat and trying to jiggle her like fat. It's just like, oh my gosh. Like I think that's where it crosses the line for me. Right. So going back to like calling your, you know, loved one dummy idiot, you know, you wouldn't sit there, call them dummy idiot and then like point out all the ways that they are dumb.
Yeah. I mean, you might, maybe that works. Maybe that's how it works. It feels like,
I don't even know how you would prove someone is a poop dog.
Do you say dummy idiot like when they do something like – it's a cultural thing. Do you say
yeah.
like if they lost the TV remote and you like – you were sitting on it, dummy idiot? Like is that what you do?
But is that a term of endearment? I don't know. That just seems like insulting at that
or
point.
Or is it – like okay, but there's a lot of guys in the U.S. that bond with their guy friends by insulting
gosh.
Them. Right? That's a thing. Like,
yeah.
Right. Like that. And so like and so I understand where he's coming from. If you're like, but that's how you connect with people. You make fun of them. Like that's what you do. Like you make I would never make fun of somebody I didn't know and love and care about. Like and so I kind of have the American man friendship like angle coming at this and being like, mm-hmm. well, yeah, of course you're going to call your friend a dipshit like all the time. Like, what's up, dipshits? Like, I could totally see a guy coming in to like hang out and call and doing that. Like, all right, you dummy, let's go. Like, that's totally normal. But the part that crosses over the line for me is the part where he's been told and he
yes.
knows. And it's like,
yes.
okay, I understand that's great what you meant by it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to decide that things mean what you meant by it and things don't mean what you took by it, right? And so when someone
yeah.
tells you, actually, that's really offensive to me, you stop fucking doing it.
Right. And that's the part that like really makes me mad about it,
yeah.
like this whole situation is even he's like, oh, yeah, I'll stop saying it, psych. And he says it like kind of like only so Devin can hear it. It's just like, you're an asshole.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, like it is mostly between it is not mostly it's between him and Devin doesn't seem to mind. Like, and I think Devin is a little peeved that everybody's getting all offended on her behalf for something
yeah.
that doesn't bother her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, moving on from them, let's talk about Clayton and Annalie. So Clayton updates everyone that his mom is no longer living in the closet and she's actually living in her own place, even though they all moved to Oklahoma. Manuel thinks that the guinea pig should have been living in the closet and his mom should have been out in the living room. But Clayton says that the guinea pigs wouldn't or couldn't be in an enclosed space like the closet. But his mom always left the door open. Clayton and Annalie both say that their sex life has improved and much more than when they were living with their mom. They admit to having sex like twice a week, and Sean asks why Annalie then didn't tell her dad about coming to the U.S. to get married, and she says that if she had told him, she wouldn't have been able to go, which Ashley is skeptical and Clayton also doesn't understand. But Jasmine points out that in Latin America, parents are scary, and Manuel agrees. Her dad declined to come on the show and instead leaves a message that says that he hopes she comes home soon because there is nothing for her in the U.S. Annalie cries and says that she misses her dad and it's been really difficult and she really has no words. Brandy is then brought out and Annalie gives her the heart hands, which is, I don't know, I thought that was an interesting start considering where this ended up. Brandy then says that she's still unsure about their relationship and wonders why Annalie never told her family she was coming to the U.S. for Clayton. She thinks maybe she was trying to hide something, like maybe another boyfriend. Annalie claims she never even wanted to move to the U.S. She wanted him to move to Peru, and she actually sacrificed her life for him. Clayton makes a comment in Spanish to Annalie that Brandy seems crazy right now. Brandy says that she sees no affection between them. Annalie says that it's not her to be all over someone. Brandy compares how they're sitting with space between them compared to all the other couples. So Clayton scoots over and puts his arm around Annalie. Brandy just kind of dismisses it. Clayton then gets to see the stripper scene, and Annalie, Brandy, Igor, and Gino are all kind of laughing at the footage. Clayton claimed that Annalie told him that she was traumatized by the stripper and didn't want it. Brandy says that Annalie's request inspired her. Annalie says asking Brandy for a stripper was a joke to tease Clayton in the moment, and she thinks the person who was really into it was Brandy. Clayton thinks that Brandy did it to cause problems. Brandy has a grumpy face but doesn't say anything. Annalie thinks that Brandy is a meddler, as Brandy mimes stirring shit in a pot. Clayton says that Brandy is bothered by them being happy and he's bothered by her. Brandy says that she will meddle, continue to meddle, because she's his only sister, but she's trying not to negatively affect their relationship. Sam asks if maybe she's testing their relationship to see if it's real, and she goes, no, but thinks that maybe she would if she were around more, which Annalie says that she doesn't want to be near her. Brandy says that she just doesn't want Annalie to hurt Clayton because she's seen so many red flags. She thinks their relationship is odd. Clayton points out that every couple on stage is odd because of the differing cultures. Clayton says that he doesn't know how to prove anything to Brandy, but if he did, what is she looking for exactly? And Brandy just says that she would know if she saw it. Clayton then makes a dig at her that that perspective hasn't got her very far in life. Jasmine notes that they seem to hate each other. Brandy does want to see Clayton happy, but she's also protective. Clayton doesn't think she cares because he is happy. They all seem to agree that there are deeper issues that aren't being discussed. And even Brandy agrees. Brandy says off camera that Annalie's just here for the green card and the ring. Later, Annalie tries to make out with Clayton on camera to prove to everyone that they love each other. Okay, so Brandy being on here was super bizarre. So what was your take on, like, what was really happening?
My take on what was really happening is that Clayton and Brandy were fighting about something deep and dark from their past that has nothing to do with this relationship at all.
Yeah.
That we don't know anything about.
Right. I almost kind of thought that Clayton, like, you know, maybe Brandy's had a problem with drinking or drugs in the past.
Yes, that sounds very likely. Yes.
Yeah. Because he definitely seemed to be making a dig at her, like saying, you know, like she's, you know, crazy. And so, you know, saying like she's acting real crazy right now. And so kind of like to imply that she was like under the influence, possibly, if I was really reading into it.
Sure. is that like the words he says for to the, like, the Anna Lee dude? Like, here's the warning. But yeah, this dude hates Brandy so much.
Yeah.
And it's – and she also it was kind of infuriating to watch her be like, oh, I do love him. I'm just really protective. That's why I make digs and passive aggressive at him and try to break up his – okay, then you're not protective. You're vindictive. Those are not the same thing. Like, you can say you're doing it for him, but you're just – it really did seem I don't like that he is happy and that's bullshit and he shouldn't get to be happy and I'm going to take it away. Like it
yeah.
They just there's and she even said it. They raised Sean mentioned that part at one point was like, is there anybody who thinks there might be something deeper going on here?
She raises her hand.
Yeah.
So it was very bizarre to me. And it's like, we could have definitely leaned into this drama during the season instead of, you know, I mean, they definitely implied that they had a very weird relationship. But at the same time, like, I feel like the way that they portrayed it on the show was that Brandy and Clayton were a lot closer because Clayton seemed to dump all wedding planning on Brandy and she seemed to be okay with it.
Yeah, it was.
Well, at least go along with it. I don't know if she was actually okay with it, but.
Yeah, but she went along with some things and she definitely at least hosted the bachelorette party and stuff like that. But yeah, this it definitely seems like they're not as close as you would have thought based on that, right? And that they don't talk to each other very much. Mm-hmm. And it definitely seems like it's not like just that they kind of drifted apart. They don't have a lot in common and they live far apart. They just never kind of had that relationship. It definitely seems like there was a falling out for sure.
Yeah.
And my guess is it's probably about mom.
I think mom was involved
somewhere. The other thing I thought was funny was that the part where, you know, they were really going after Anna Lee for why didn't you tell your dad? And then the dad's letter was harsh as shit.
I was like, okay, so he doesn't approve.
Yeah. And then just Jasmine just being like, yeah, Latin American parents are scary no matter how old you get. And then Mel was like, yep.
Yeah, that does explain a lot, but it kind of makes me feel like this couple isn't going to last very long because it doesn't seem like anybody in their orbit supports their relationship.
Yeah, that makes it hard. Yeah,
it makes it incredibly hard. I mean, they don't have any friends on their side either. It's literally just the two of them, and I feel like that's going to really weigh on them, especially if you know, she's feeling neglected because he spends so much time on his computer or, you know, or he feels neglected because she's actually out, you know, when she gets to working, which I'm sure she will, like, and making friends because she does not seem like the person who is even going to entertain a remote job.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's funny because we do have Cam on his side, right?
Yeah.
But Cam is like a really bad friend when it comes to all this stuff. Like, Cam is the friend who is going to be – you're like, man, I'm really worried. You know, my sister doesn't approve. Her dad doesn't approve. Like, I don't know how this relationship is going to work out. And he's like, I don't know either. It just sounds to me like she's going to break up with you and move back to Peru. Like, I'm just telling like it is, bro. It's like, it's not helping. I approve and I hope it works out for you, but man, signs aren't looking great.
Right. So I don't know. Like, it's tough when you don't have people supporting you. Mm-hmm. And she's going to feel lonely very quickly. And what is moving to Oklahoma? How is that helping their situation?
I mean, it doesn't hurt her situation. She didn't have any friends in Kentucky either.
She doesn't care.
And he didn't have any friends in Kentucky either. Like,
that's true.
Yeah, I don't see how it hurts anything. It's at least they're both trying to make a thing in her new scene. But yeah, I am still worried about him spending all his time on the computer and him just being, I don't know, go out, fine, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, right. So we didn't really hear from Ashley and Manuel or Sophie and Rob because we had them covered last week.
And we're going to hear from them next week probably.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yeah. All right. So that is our season finale, pretty much. So we have power rankings.
Yes. Power rankings.
So, we just go straight from who we liked the best to who we liked the least.
Yeah. And sometimes we always have to put the caveat in there based on what was shown in the season. Because sometimes we get to these power rankings and we have like a huge reveal that happened on social media where it's like, oh,
right.
Turns out this person like – it's murdered terrible. A puppy. Like,
right. Yeah. Well, I think also, too, I mean, because it's just for us, right? Like, it's based on our own opinion, right? Like, sometimes
it's just
very
like,
much is the case where I'm person, like, I don't like that person's face.
This person's personality like, annoyed me, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I would never want to hang out with this person, so I put them further down. They're annoying as hell. So, yeah. All kinds of different reasons. Okay, so who is your number one?
I said Citra.
So did I. I mean, she didn't do anything wrong. She's sweet enough. Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. They tried to get her to trigger her and she didn't take the bait. So good for her.
No. I mean, right. I think her only fault this season was watching too much Texas Chainsaw Massacre and like making everything some kind of horror story wannabe. But I mean, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not even that terrible. I'm sure some people would argue that's like a creative gift. Maybe. All right. Who is your number two?
Number two is Sam.
Okay.
I thought he handled everything as best he could. Mm-hmm. And like the only thing he really did wrong was the messing up the paperwork for the diversion program. That was the only like truly wrong things.
There were more things that annoyed me about Sam. So I put him a little bit further down.
All right.
So I went number two with Devin. I mean, also another situation where she was kind of sweet. The only thing that you could really kind of argue is that she was really quiet, you know, like.
Yeah.
But I mean, she didn't do anything this season.
Right. Right. And I have her just a little bit lower because like I held you didn't do anything. You're on a TV show and you didn't do anything against her a little bit more.
Yeah. So I had her as number two. What about your number two? Oh, yeah, you said Sam. What about your number three?
My number three was Sophie.
Okay, my number three was Sophie as well. I mean, other than, like, you know,
the weird
choosing
out.
Rob.
Choosing Rob and the weird, like, freak out for him not saying no to the weird proposed threesome at the sex shop fast enough.
Oh,
that was not great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Okay, how about your number four?
Number four is where I put Devin. Just a little knocked down for, like I said. You didn't do anything. You were on TV and you didn't do anything.
Right. I went with Annalie. I actually felt for her situation, although her keeping Clayton a secret from Dad
seemed
pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, as you mentioned, Dad's reaction, it's kind of like, well, yeah.
Well, yeah, but okay. Yeah. When we get to Annalie, I have thoughts about that.
Okay. All right. So who is your number four?
My number four was Devin. So that brings us to the number five.
Five. Uh-huh.
Where I put Gino.
Oh,
because they were awful.
No. Yeah.
But what did Gino do wrong this season?
His face. Gino is much further down because of his face.
Because of his face. Okay, I'll give you that. But I hated more people's faces.
Oh, gosh. Well, no. I mean, I'm choking when I say just his face. He obviously did other things that really bothered me, but Gino was definitely further down for me. I went number five with Nikki. She is not my favorite person. Like, she's really annoying. She's constantly nagging him. She's constantly like making things a big deal, but I don't know. My middle section, we talked about this offline. Just like, I don't know. I feel like it was I wasn't really sure. So my whole middle kind of starting off at, I would say now, number five, Nikki.
Five,
I'm just like,
I
don't know where to put these people.
5 to 11 or something like that. 5 to 10. Yeah.
5 to 11. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. One's as worse as the next.
Okay. Interesting. I have Nikki much lower, but we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah.
So that brings my number six. My number six was Clayton.
Okay.
He's makes the stupid – honestly, the stupid guinea pig voice
like
one of the primary – that and the weird jealousy over the stripper thing, those two things knocked him further down. But again, I think the other people did more consistent and harmful things.
Yeah. Well, Clayton isn't too far down for me for, you know, this list. But number six, I actually put Sam. And it's just like the lying. And there's two major incidents, like him. And the thing is, too, like the fact that he cheated, and I will put that in quotes. I will put that in quotes because it's kind of like he hadn't even met her yet. Like, could you really? I mean, I guess if you have an understanding that you are being exclusive, but even Citra didn't even seem all that upset about it now, you know? So, but okay, so that was one. And then the other thing was like, idiot with like preparation. Like, how are you that irresponsible that you couldn't file your paperwork in on time?
Yeah,
especially given the consequences. What's wrong with you? He just seems like very immature to me. So not the worst, but yeah. Okay, so my number seven was Clayton. And the reason why Clayton, because if we look at what he actually did this season, there is nothing except for like him overreacting over the stripper that was really that terrible.
He's just a weird dude.
Him overreacting over the stripper gave me really ick vibes.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, this guy has another side to him that we're not seeing.
Well, I mean,
and I don't know how much grounded in reality that is, but it gave me a vibe that I was just like, ooh.
Well, I mean, Annalie got ick vibes like immediately when she came to.
Because it came off as very controlling, and I'm like, there's another side to this guy. So definitely that's the reason why Clayton is further down, even though arguably he was better off behavior wise than some of the people that were above him.
Yeah. And so seven is where I put Annalie, because I thought that a lot of the stuff that came with her dad was like of her own making, right? And it was worse because of how she lied, and she lied about it. And so like, I think that that's part of the reason. I think that her dad is like, as I'm a dad, right? And it'd be one thing, I expect my kids to grow up and be in relationships and possibly get married, and that's great. And I expect them to be like, hey, I'm seeing somebody. Hey, you want to meet this person? Oh, hey, you know, we've been going out for a while. We're engaged, come to the wedding. And that's not what happened. It was, hey, dad, I have a boyfriend. I mean, I have a husband.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And that
all in the same conversation.
All in the same conversation. Right. And that to me is immediately like, what? Wait, whoa, no. We need to stop that. No, you need to, you know, and it's like, so I think a lot of that bad reaction came from the way she conveyed this information. Because if I hear that, I'm like, what did he do to you? Like, what is going on? Are you blink twice if you can, like, you know, if you can't talk, like what is going on? This seems dangerous and bad that this came out of nowhere, right?
Right, right. Yeah. What number were we on? Eight?
Eight.
Okay. I went with Nick for number eight.
I also had Nick at number eight.
How funny. For me, it was like Nick didn't do anything arguably wrong except for not let go of Piggy. Just let it go. I mean, he would have been much better off if he just let it go.
Yeah, that's the thing, is stubbornness, right? And also it doesn't help that he got to America and they're like, so what do you guys think of Americans? Oh, they're fat and lazy.
Yeah.
Like, just like you guys. Look at all you guys. You're fat and lazy.
Calling my fiance Piggy this entire time.
They're fat and lazy, just like Piggy right here. You see this? Yeah. Look at that. Like, it's like, what are you doing? Like,
right. That was bad. Okay, what about your number nine?
All right, number nine is, we're getting to the people that I did not think would be even this high. I have Ashley.
Okay.
I don't like Ashley at all.
Yeah.
Like, she just, everything about her personality is pretty opposite to my personality. And so everything she does when she's like, I'm going to come sage the place, I'm like, put that out. I'm going to smell your shit. Right. Let's do a tarot card reading before we go. I'm be like, I'm just leaving. I'm not. Right. I can't. Everything she does. And so from that, everything she does is like mildly bad, just annoys the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't disagree with you, which is why Ashley is a little bit further down for me. Then I am shocked to say that Manuel actually beat out Ashley, and I put him as number nine, because especially the first half of the season, I'm like, I hate this guy. I hate his stupid face. I hate like just this blank stare he has when they're having these arguments. I hate that he walks off. But like, I think towards the end, you start to really understand where he's coming from and how he kind of grew up in poverty and how he has this pressure to provide for his family. And it gives you a little bit of insight and therefore a little bit more empathy about why he is the way he is. Even though, I mean, the reality is he could do a lot better with communication, all that. But at least he's starting to come around to the idea that, you know, oh, I need to work on myself. I need to work on my communication. And he said as much.
Yeah, he says it. And I'm kind of reserving judgment for maybe next season to see if he actually does. Yeah. Right? Because it's true. Totally his. I just feel like every big blow up argument they had, he could have avoided by
communicating. Oh, yeah. He could have shut it down pretty fast.
He could have shut it down very fast. Yeah. Yes, and chose not to, right? And then he and because at the end when he's like trying to, having his situation, it's like, he had so many opportunities to explain that so many times.
Oh, sure.
And just refused to, right?
Yeah.
And now is like, oh, well, yeah, you know, it's hard. It's like, well, how was she supposed – like she was supposed to know all that without you saying it? That's – so that kind of bad communication put him a little bit lower for me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't disagree with you, but my number 10 was Ashley, and it was because she annoys the shit out of me. Like, all that stuff that you were saying, her sex magic explanation, which then prompts Igor to not let go of this dick candle joke the entire time. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, why? Why is this happening?
True. I mean, it really comes down to you and I are a lot alike in a lot of ways in terms of how we approach the world, how we think about things. Mm-hmm. And Ashley is the opposite of us. Completely.
Oh, for sure. Like, and her wailing for no reason, like all of that is just, it's too much. She's too theatrical with everything.
Yes. Yes. And I think we talked about it. I guarantee you this is a friend that you have to tell to be there a half hour earlier than they're supposed to be there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that would drive me nuts too. Yeah. All right. So who is your number 10?
My number 10 was Manuel.
Oh, okay.
We talked about that. So
we just flipped it.
Yeah. Yeah, we just flipped Ashley and Manuel. I had 9, 10, Ashley, Manuel. You had Manuel, Ashley. So.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. So I think we have the same – We don't.
We have them different. I think
we have three out of four.
Three out of four. So 11 is where I have Nikki.
Okay, sure.
And it just comes from, again, most kind of like Annalie, most of the problems were of her own creation. And she, as much as she says she likes this guy and as much as a shithead as this guy is, which you'll notice I haven't said his name yet.
Right.
She chose that and she makes it worse. Like, she says terrible things to this man.
Oh, sure.
And she does that argument thing where she says things she really doesn't mean and then is upset when you took it seriously. Like, right? And it's like – and then
– and, like, the whole thing where, like, she's saying that she wants to break up or she's not – you know. And then she's like, well, I didn't mean that.
Well, I wanted to break up a lot of times. I don't understand why this time we're broken up. Like, what are you talking about? This is nonsense.
Makes sense.
So, again, theatrical and dramatic about everything. Yeah. That's not my favorite for sure.
No. She's not really my favorite either. Okay, my number 11, I put Jasmine just because, I don't know. I just thought everybody else was worse. I don't know.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit lower.
Yeah. What about 12?
12, I have Rob.
So do I. I hate this guy.
He's annoying. He's whiny. He's a whiny little bitch all the time.
He will never admit that he's wrong. I hate that about him. It's such a terrible quality.
Yeah. Well, sometimes he does go to the point where he's wrong, but it's always like, yeah, I guess I was wrong, but.
Yes, exactly.
You shouldn't have done
someone
this.
Someone else is more wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and so that justifies him being wrong.
Right. Yeah. And it's just, he's annoying. And he's just definitely he's the example of the old Southern phrase, a hit dog will holler, right? Mm-hmm. When you accurately pinpoint the thing that, like, you mention the thing that he feels bad about himself, it's just like, how dare you tell me I don't have my shit together? I'm trying so hard. I've been working. And I was like, oh, shut up, guy. Like, just get an apartment and get a job. Settle down.
Yeah,
like,
get a bathroom. Everything will be fine. Jeez. All right. Who is your number 13?
So 13 is where I put Jasmine.
Okay.
Because the wailing all season long of the overly dramatic, I've had lip gloss. Like, no, I can't. No, this is awful. You're being a child. You're just
overly dramatic with everything. Everything is the worst thing ever. This means we'll never be together forever. I'm done with you forever. And then doesn't follow through on any of them.
Yeah.
Like, and there we are still here. So I just thought she was awful and annoying and just – and the fact that she only has one trick. It's the same goddamn circle over and over and over and over
again. Yep, that's true. I put Gino. I really do not like this guy. Just his – like – the look he has on his face when he's guilty of something.
The little turtle look he gets.
Yeah, it's just like, and so like, and he has that look every time she like gets upset about something. And so I can't help but think that Gino somehow is to blame in all of this and it has nothing to do with how she reacts. It's how he reacts, you know, because, and I mean, I know we want to limit to the season, but I mean, we would never have thought that he would have sent nudes to her ex. I mean, to his ex, right? And he had the same exact guilty turtle look when he did that, you know, and was caught. And so it's just like, I just assume Gina's guilty of everything at this point. Yeah, his face doesn't help his cause either.
Right. Well, we have the same bottom guy.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Okay. So Igor, how did he go from, you know, when we first saw him, like, okay, one of the best looking guys that I thought we had seen on 90 Day Fiancé too.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, I hate this guy.
Yeah, he just is. I mean, it went down as it kept going. And I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like Nikki is someone who needs a lot of help. She is a damaged person, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of healing that needs to happen there. And I feel like he's taking advantage of that for money.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you at all. They are not meant to be with one another. They're both stuck in a toxic cycle. Mm-hmm. I think that he recognizes that, but he's also benefiting from being with her. And so he's not as interested in, you know, letting it go. And I don't know if she really does recognize that it's a toxic cycle.
No, I don't know that she does. I feel like she doesn't see the cycleness of it. And she sees it as a, like before, it's like, we've been doing this for 17 years. And granted, she's pretty deluded too. That's why I have her pretty low. Like, they haven't been doing this for 17 years.
Right.
Right. People did the math. They started when he was 17, right?
Oh, gosh.
And don't forget, at that time, he didn't know she was trans.
Right.
Like, and that's like, all that is nasty stuff. But when we get into what we see in this season, it's just – and then again, I just don't like the guy. He's this fake, weird, I'm going to walk by the water speaking in Russian and like little deep thoughts. And I'm going to tell weird jokes that don't make any damn sense. And then I'm going to tell everyone that they don't listen to man and like get out of here.
Yeah. He definitely, as the episodes went on, I was like, is your English getting worse? Are you getting more dumb? Like, I just don't understand.
I really couldn't tell. And the fact that is that they had – I feel like they went out of their way this episode to say, we have translators for these people.
Right.
Like, they're here. Like, just so we wouldn't be like, well, is his English just bad? Does he not understand what they're saying? Like, no, it's been translated for him. And it's just like, is your English – you're right. Is your English that bad or are you just that dumb? I can't decide which one it is.
A little of A, a little of B.
Yeah, probably. Most likely,
yeah. All right. So that wraps up our season. Do we have a life lesson for this episode?
I mean, I kind of already hit on it when I was going to it. But like for Igor, right, being listened to doesn't mean that you get your way. Right?
God.
He repeatedly just said, I just want somebody to listen to me. And they were. Like, people were listening to him. It's just that – that doesn't – just listening to you doesn't mean that if I listen to my child who says they want ice cream for breakfast, that doesn't mean they get ice cream for breakfast.
Right. You hear them and you counter that with some logic and reason.
Yes. And here is your granola bar, whatever it is, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. So mine life lesson is really for, you know, Annalie. You know, like it's a bummer that her news has caused problems with her dad, but you also have to wonder, is it because you hit it and he is having a negative reaction? Mm-hmm. So it's like, my life lesson is consider the repercussions. Are you making it worse if you are prolonging telling the truth? Because obviously this wasn't a secret that was meant to be secret forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, but did you make it worse by prolonging telling the truth? I think the answer to, in this case could be yes.
It couldn't have been worse than what happened. We can't know for sure, but no. Yeah, I highly doubt it would have been worse. I think in her head it might have been worse, because I think in her head is like, if I told him about it before we got married, he would have talked me out of it and we would never be married. Mm-hmm. Like, and that might be worse. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time imagining how his reaction would be more like hurtful. Right. You told him earlier.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So we are starting HEA next week. So we will be back next week.
That's right. We'll see everybody
maybe
then.
Yeah, possibly a day late because I'm on spring break. So,
spring break's the week after that.
Mm. Yeah. So, possibly a day late, but we will be back.
All right. See everybody then.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.